We've been talking about commitment. The presentation flow before which we will just look at this small slide. And if you add me to your church staff, you will find me pretty much as loyal to you as you are to the Lord. One guy is coming to meet the pastor to get into the church work, and he's telling the pastor, look, my commitment, how good would be your commitment? And he's telling, look, my commitment would be as good as your commitment to the Lord. Any guesses whether he got the job? Huh? Yes? Somebody said yes. Great is thy faith. Alright? Very, very difficult, isn't it? Well, what is this all about? What is the definition of commitment? I was looking into a dictionary. So I'll read that dictionary meaning to you. You don't need to write that, but then you'll get a few ideas from that dictionary meaning. The act of committing or pledging. That's the dictionary meaning, one line of it. The act of committing or pledging. The state of being committed or pledged. You're listening? You're with me? An obligation or promise that restricts one's freedom of action. A pledge that might require to pay the price. You got it? How many of that you can reproduce? By and large, what is a commitment is? Louder. It's a pledge. Very good. What else? Huh? What else? Guys, what's a commitment?
A firm decision.
A firm decision. Right. Right. Who else? You want to take a shot? You want to take a shot? What's it? Commitment? Utna to malum hoga. Commitment. What is commitment to you? What's your thought? You have a thought? Oh, you said pledge. What else? Anything else? No idea? What's a commitment? It's a pledge. It's a decision. It will tie you down to that particular pledge. And it is a passion with which you have to do that. If you don't do that, you will find it very, very difficult. Or rather, it'll kill you if you don't do that. Or you want to be dead if you don't do that. That's what a commitment is all about, right? What are the ingredients of commitment? One, it's a promise, it's a pledge, as you rightly said. It is an obligation, or it binds you into it. You agree with me? It's very difficult to go like this. Tell me one commitment, then we will decide. Don't be too spiritual at this point. Tell me something from your college life, school life. One commitment. Relationship? Relationship? Now you have to define that. Very difficult. You want to define it? Nobody wants to define it. Not in ABC. Well, I will make it a little easy for you. Relationship between husband and wife. That sounds okay, right? That sounds okay. I know that's not what you meant, but let me just twist it. Okay. Now, relationship between husband and wife. It's a commitment. You agree with me? Absolutely, it's a commitment. It's a commitment till the weather is good. Till the honeymoon is done with. Yeah? No, it's a commitment till death do us part. Absolute commitment. Right? So that's the commitment. There is a binding into that commitment. Once I enter into that commitment, I'm seriously binding myself into that particular commitment. There is a loyalty in it. There is devotion in it. To keep that commitment, once you take that commitment, then you think that, I know most of you are not married. Kya bola? You have some comments? No. Most of you are not married. So to that extent, you think that, you know, once it is married, it's like, you know, Kate's wedding, where, you know, everything is hunky-dory and you stand on the balcony and say, hey, oh, very nice, going on the cart and, you know, oh, very nice. Well, commitment doesn't stay like that. Commitment is a daily, the same thing what Kate has been doing. Her mother-in-law also has done. Right? But that commitment didn't stay. Diana and Charles, you know that, right? Uncle, can I talk all these things here? Is that okay? I think uncle is not... okay. Alright, so but then that commitment didn't stay. Why? Because that commitment was not... They were not loyal to that commitment. They were not dedicated to that commitment. They didn't preserve that commitment. So that's not a real commitment is all about. So a commitment is a pledge. Its loyalty is there. It is something that has to be carried forward. It is never to end. It is there to pay any price for it. The commitment, to keep that commitment, you got to pay any price for it. Whatever that be. If you take a commitment, that has to be paid with it. You got to pay the price. So that is what the ingredients of a commitment is. You agree with me? Anything to be added? No? Alright. We will do that as we go along. But world's idea of commitment is a little different. Right? World's idea of commitment is what you have told me just a minute ago. In the Facebook, when you open it, you see the personal profile, committed. What committed? Committed suicide or what? Almost. So, what is that? What is that commitment? You watch that profile after some, don't read the profile, nothing is there. Okay. I just took that profile somewhere. What does it mean? I have seen a girl's profile of one of my old youth groups, not in Bombay, so don't keep trying to guess or anything. I mean, almost every 4 months, 5 months, I see, keep seeing that committed, single. Committed, single. It keeps changing. What's happening? What kind of commitment is this? What are you committed to? What is the meaning of that committed? The word should be changed from committed to, some kind of goosebumps, not goosebumps. Something like that, you have to change it. You know, suddenly I got a kind of a feeler, and now that is gone. So that's what she mean to say. It's not committed. There's no meaning of commitment. But world's meaning of commitment is that. Something that I can do according to my feelings. If I feel like, I will do that. Many of the spiritual commitments are also like that. I really felt like that. So I just raised my hands. Committed. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's just emotional. You watch God's channel. God's TV, I'm sure you're not watching it. But if you do? Okay. you see a lot of commitments. Why it's not staying on? It's coming out of emotions only. There is nothing beyond that. It is not a lifelong loyalty pledged out there, no. It's just an emotional. So that's what the world's idea is. I was very saddened by reading one of the articles of this gentleman, whose name I will leave mentioned. Arey yaar, batana mat. ABC hai. Okay. Now, he is a hero of our Bollywood. And he is still a hero. But what kind of commitment was his? He got married first time to another actress. She got cancer. And this fellow just left her. In the midst of her cancer, in that hospital, and came off to India from New York. Till she died, he just left her high and dry. Is that what commitment is? We still consider him to be the hero. But where is that commitment? The commitment of love. The commitment that till death do us part, that we will be there. That's not there. Still he is a hero. Why? The world has lost the meaning of commitment. We have just lost the meaning of commitment. For us, commitment is something that you do when you feel like. And something that you throw away when you don't feel like anymore. How sad it is, isn't it? That's the world's commitments are. We will divide this topic into next three days. First, today, the first class would be, we will be talking about commitment displayed. And tomorrow we will talk about commitment defeated. And day after we will talk about commitment demanded. These are the three divisions that we will look into each of these days. Don't worry about it. You don't need to write it as such. We are going to see this, each of these, in these 3 days. So first we will talk about commitment displayed today, and with that we will close for the night. Now while I'm talking about this commitment displayed, the presentation flow will be in these five divisions. We will talk about commitment displayed by God. Okay? Why are we talking about God at this point? Any guesses? Why are you talking about God when we are talking about commitment? Kyo? Why are you talking about God at this point? What's your guess? Arya, kuch to bolo na. Why are you talking about God? We are talking about God because the commitment, the meaning of it, we have lost in this world. To know what is the meaning of commitment, let's look at that commitment God has shown. And we are created in whose image? God's image. So we are expected to have that commitment ingredients in our commitments too. That's the idea. That's the logical idea. That's the philosophy here. You got it? So what we are going to do is, first class today, we are looking at God. How His commitments are. What are His commitments? How did he manage to keep that over centuries? How long we have lived? Kitna saal hai aapko?
13.
13? 13 years? God has lived? How many years? Pagal ho gaya kya? Calculate mat karo. God is everlasting. Right? And I am not able to keep my commitment for 13 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. But God kept His commitment for centuries. So what is the evidence for them? So what we are going to do is, first we will look at the characteristics of His commitment. Then we will look at centuries since. How has He kept His commitment? A few examples we will see. And thirdly, we will see the commitment displayed by Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of history. Then we will see how the commitment God works in a Christian's life. Those who follow Lord Jesus Christ, how the commitment, what are the commitments He has given to us and how is He doing that? And finally, we will end it with one example of God's commitment worked out in a Christian's life. I pick up that example from the streets of Bombay. Okay, it will not be Apostle Paul or Peter or Lord Jesus Christ at the end of it. At the end of it, I'll pick up one guy who lived among us in this century, in this era, and an unknown person, not a great guy, somebody whom we can all relate with, not a preacher, not a teacher, not a big guy, and we will see how God worked in his life. Okay? Is that okay? We'll go ahead with it. Okay? These are the five things that we are going to look at today. So let's start with commitment of God displayed. How has God displayed His character in His commitments? God's character is very much seen and reflected in His commitments. For example, His commitments are uninfluenced. You're going to read now. Anybody who is going to read it first would be appreciated. First verse, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. We are going to see the character of His commitments, okay? That's what we are trying to find out. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Quick. Okay, what is he saying here? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? What's he saying? Is there anybody influencing my commitment to you? Is there anybody counseling me? Is there anybody teaching me how to go about my commitments? How to fulfill my promises? How to keep up my faithfulness? Is there anybody who is leading me on this? No, nobody. His commitments are uninfluenced. It is not dependent on the mood swings. Suddenly, God woke up in the morning and felt a headache and said, "Arey yaar, kya commitment? Chhod de." Is that how it is? No, it's not how it is. God's commitments are nothing to do with the moods, with the climates or with the seasons at all. It is an uninfluenced one as far as commitment is concerned. So that is one character of God's commitment. What is that? It is uninfluenced. Second, it is unchanging. We will just read one of that. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. Remaining verses we will not read at this point. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. Kevula? You said something? Okay. He is the rock. Hey, what is that to do with commitment? What is rock is? What is rock is stupid question. Why is he calling God a rock? His work is? His work is perfect, that's right. But why rock? Rock is perfect. Why rock? You see, a rock in the midst of a sea. Can you imagine? The sea is keep going up and down and it's the waves are hitting on the rock, right? All around that rock, it is all moving. Nothing standing. But what about the rock? Keep getting rocked. Is it getting rocking? No, rock is not going rocking. Rock is steady. It is still there. Centuries have passed. So much have gone around it. All around it is absolutely not solid at all. It keep moving, keep wavering. But the rock stands. He is my rock. He never changes. He makes a commitment. He keeps that commitment. Come what may, it is an unchanging commitment. In James chapter 1 and verse 17 we read, there is no variableness in him and there is no shadow of turning in him. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 we read, that I am a God who change not. I will not change. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 we read that God is not a man that he should lie. He will never change. Psalms 33 and verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. He is an unchanging God, absolutely unchanging God. So first we said, he is an uninfluenced in his commitment, then he is unchanging. Why am I selling all this? To understand what? Commitment. What commitment is? Now we are seeing God's commitment so that it can be applied to our lives, okay? It's an unchanging commitment. Now thirdly, it is an unrelenting commitment. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. Second Timothy 2:13 will do. That will be much more easier. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 13. If we believe not, he remains faithful. Yet he abide faithful. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 13. Okay. If we believe not, he abide faithful. That's what in the translation, right? Or in my translation, yet he abided faithful. Or he remained faithful. That's what your translation? He remains faithful. Or he abided faithful. What does it mean? God will keep going ahead with his commitment, irrespective of the recipient's reaction. Did you get what I'm trying to say? Did you get me? Listen to me clearly. God will keep his commitment, irrespective of how the recipient reacts, whether you remain faithful or not, whether you are keeping the commitment or not, still God will keep his commitment. It is an unrelenting commitment. It is uninfluenced, it is unchanging, it is unrelenting. Alright, now from commitment of God's character, there are much more that we can draw in. We will quickly look into the next side. Commitment of God displayed centuries since. Of three examples we will pick up here too. From the human history, let's pick up three examples. First of all, to preserve the climate. I just got that because you looks like a rainbow out there. Looks like that, almost. Yeah. Just, we read that in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, it reads like this. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That was a commitment. You agree with me? Was that a commitment or not? Yeah, that was a commitment. Till when? While the earth remaineth. Absolutely. That's a commitment. So do you think our climate changes, because of the global warming, one fine morning, we all will get flooded completely while the earth remains? Do you think so? I don't think so. I am for keeping the world neat and nice, no doubt about it. But I believe His promise standeth. Till that it stood, it will continue. The Lord could come and Lord could do what He wants to do. And He will restore the world. There is no doubt about it. That's Lord's. But this is His commitment. Absolute commitment, which has almost more than 4,000 years. Close to 6,000 years, I would say. More than 4,000 years have elapsed. And this promise has stood still and it will continue to be. Another example. Genesis chapter 15. This is about Israel. Commitment to regroup Israel. He has made this commitment in Genesis chapter 15. Between verses 13 and 16, He has given this commitment. Middle of that, we read, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. God has given a commitment. Israel is going to be punished. They will be scattered all across the globe. But at the fourth generation, they will return. And that's my commitment. God said that. And that commitment has fulfilled. Exodus chapter 12 verse 41 we read, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. God has made a commitment. And that commitment He fulfilled. Fourth generation, He said, He did that in fourth generation. Absolutely, He kept His promise. And one more, we will close with this particular side of the story. Commitment to send the Savior. The world was under the grip of Satan. Devil has caught hold of the mankind and made them under his feet. He has promised to send the Savior. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 we read, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That was His promise. Years have passed by. Centuries have gone. But God kept His promise. We read that in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His son made of a woman. We know that. Absolutely He has kept His promise. So you looked into the centuries. Be it the climate, be it the seasons, be it Israel, or be it a Savior, He has made a commitment. He has kept His commitment absolutely on it. And that's the God's record. If He says, He does. If He commits, He fulfills. That's God and His record. Now we will see commitment of God displayed in Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Christ, why commitment of God displayed in Christ Jesus? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 we read that He is the express image of His person. Christ Jesus is the express image of God. So, God's commitment gets reflected in Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right? Is that too much to understand? No. Is it okay? You're with me? Hello? Everybody there? Okay, so God's commitment gets reflected in Lord Jesus Christ. Naturally so, because He is the express image of His person. That's why we are picking up Lord Jesus Christ's example. Commitment displayed in Jesus Christ in chapter 13 of John. If you turn with me, we will take just one example, okay? It is throughout we see the commitment of Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures. We are just picking one example, just one of that. John chapter 13, verse 1. Can anybody read for me? John chapter 13 and verse 1. Chapter 13, New Testament. Sorry. I suddenly missed the audience. I suddenly thought, sorry. Okay. All right. So we are reading it what? What are we reading here? What are we reading? Huh? Passover. Is that what you read? Read it again. Please read it for me loudly. Go ahead. Huh? Huh. That's the last line I wanted to pluck from there. He loved them unto the end. That's a commitment. He committed to love them. And he kept that commitment till when? Till the Garden of Gethsemane, right? No. Unto the end. Unto the end. He kept it. That's what this chapter is all about. First of all, he loved them. We read that he loved them, right? Sleepy? No? Alright. He loved them. How does he love them? A few examples if you look at it. John chapter 2. You will not go there. I'll just read it for you. John chapter 12 verse 26, we read that he is calling them as his servants. That means he loved them as a master. Then we read in John chapter 10 verse 4 that he called them as his sheep. So he loved them as his shepherd. We read that in Matthew chapter 15 verse 14, he calls them as his friends. So he loved them as a friend. We read in John chapter 20 verse 17 that he calls them as my brethren. So he loved them as a brother. Can somebody tell me which all way he loved them? One, as a master, as a shepherd, friend, brother. He loved them. He loved them so much. Like a shepherd holding on to its sheep. Like a friend that goes around. Like our own brother. Like a loving master to his servant. So much he loved them. And that he loved until the end. Now, this commitment of love contrasts with disciples' love. They also loved him, right? You agree with me? They loved him, right? Jesus said, if you want to go, you also can go. Then what did they say? Where will we go? Where will we go? We don't want to go anywhere. We love you. So they loved them. But until the end? What happened at the end? They all left. Absolutely correct. They all left. All of them ran away. Nobody could keep it. There was one gentleman who said that, whatever happened, even if I have to die with you, Lord, come on. Don't kid me. I am going to die for you. What did he do? Denied him thrice. He did more than the others on the other extreme. Right? So, just contrast that with their master's commitment. They also had a commitment, but that didn't last. But the master's commitment, until the end, he loved them. When he was suffering on the cross too. Even at that point, when we are put into such a situation, what would be our concerns would be? If we are walking on a road which is very sunny in Bombay now, it's so much hot and we are all sweating and we will be wondering, and that child walking around the road, she's sweating. Will we be thinking of that? We'll be more bothered about our own sweating, right? This is too much. How much I wish we were like Brunei, where everything is air-conditioned, even the streets are supposed to be. Even when he was put on the cross, even when the crowd, I don't talk about Brunei now. even when a crown, a thorn of crown was put on his head and beaten down, even when the blood was oozing out of his body, till the end he loved them. What a commitment it is. What a commitment. How does he display it? Thus he made a commitment story by saying, okay, come on guys, I've been with you for the last 3.5 years. Now I'm going to give you a preaching, a message, a sermon on my love. Is that what he did? Is that how he did? Huh? No. He did it something which proved that he loved them until the end. Would you read that chapter 13 and verse 4 and 5? What did he do? Verse 4 and 5. John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He washed the disciples' feet and dried that up. That's what he did. He completed the job. It's not that he washed it and said that now you go and dry up yourself, okay? Don't come back with the like dirty legs to me back. I have done at least this much. No. He completed the job. He dried that up. What a commitment he was showing. Why is this a part of his love he's showing? Why are you saying that? You know, a chapter ago, these disciples were having a fight among themselves. For what? Huh? Who is the greater? Brilliant. Who is the greatest among them? Because Jesus has just told them that he is going to die. He said about his death thrice. He predicted about his death thrice. And it's an interesting study to go back. I'm giving you a homework. Go back and figure out each of these three times what happened. Each time something happened which is so funny. Okay, now this is the third time. I will not go into that. Now, he predicted it and they were fighting. Who would be the greatest? Okay. Now, you come to the house and the meanest of meanest servant has to wash your feet. That's the culture out there. Nobody there. Now, disciples could have easily washed his feet, isn't it? They considered him to your master. But they didn't do it. Why? Have you ever wondered why they didn't wash his feet? Huh? You can't tell it. Alright. That's my daughter. She knows it. Okay. Now, disciples didn't, because I told that in a family prayer. That's why. Don't worry about it. Okay. Disciples didn't wash his feet. Basically because if they catch hold of Jesus and wash his feet, what will happen? Everybody's feet has to be washed, no? All the remaining 11 will stand on line. Abhi mera. Thodi karenge. Who is the greatest is the issue. And I'm going to wash his feet and make myself disqualified from the contest. I will not do it. Forget about master. Yeah. Master will manage himself somehow. I'm not going to wash even master's feet. Forget it. What a terrible situation, isn't it? Because of their quest for greatness, they even left out the master's feet being washed. Even serving the master. Well, I'm not going for a conclusion there. Let's go a little further. What did Jesus do? He took up the towel and himself started washing the disciples' feet. Now, have you ever heard a guru washing his disciples' feet? We in our land, we have enough and more godmen. And we have seen this Pada Puja. You know that, no? Pada Puja is a very famous thing. Aradi on the Padam. Right? Where you worship the feet of the guru. Ever a guru done the other way around? I've not seen it. Maybe I have seen very close to that is when the member of parliament comes, when the voting time comes. They almost do that to the voters. Catch hold of their leg and ask for a vote. So, beyond that I have not seen it. What a great teaching of his love. His love so much that I am willing, being a master, I am willing to wash your disciples, your feet. Whose feet? Even Judas' feet. Verse 1, in the chapter itself, the first 5 verses itself, we read that Judas is going to betray him. He knows that. And knowing that, and knowing fully well that the Father has given all things in my hand, then he took the towel. That's what we read there. Willing to wash the feet of a person about to betray him. What a commitment that is. He loved them till the end. Amazing commitment that we read out here. Let's go to the Christian's life. 2 more slides and we are done. Commitment of God displayed in a Christian's life. Let's see that in 3 angles. One is on salvation. Second one is on preservation. and third one on glorification. That is salvation past, salvation present, and salvation future. Let's see that in three different parts. What's God's commitment out here? Committed in saving his people. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. We read that according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God has chosen and committed to make us holy and present us blameless before him. That's his commitment. That's how we have saved. God has saved us with the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, with this commitment to save us. And that's how we came to the Lord. Now, not only that, there is a second angle of salvation. The present tense angle. What is that? Committed to preserving his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 we read, God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son. We are called unto the fellowship of his Son. Can you take 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8? Can you read it? Before going to verse 9, can you read verse 8? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. Quick, read it. Read. He will assure that you will be blameless in the day of the Lord. That means he is working on our life. We sing a very important, very, very interesting song. No, Jesus is still working on me. I don't want to sing it. You will not sleep for the rest of the night either. He is still working on me. You know that song? Can you sing that song? Quickly, come, start. He's still working on me. Louder. Make me what I am. He is still working on me. What is that he's talking about? The salvation present. Each day, helping me to overcome the power of sin. He has saved me from the penalty of sin. That is already done. That's the salvation past. But today, he is helping me to overcome the power of sin. Each day, when I am tempted, when I face temptation in my college, in my school, he helps me with his power, the power of resurrection, so that he will present me one day blameless before the throne of grace. So that is his commitment for us. Thirdly, his commitment to glorify us. Thirdly, committed in disciplining his people. Connected to the present age itself. Let's look in a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. Now go ahead. First Corinthians 11:30, is that what you're reading? Did I got it wrong? Okay, maybe I've got the reference wrong. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:30, right? Okay. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Okay, what is he saying? Don't worry. What is he saying? He's saying, because God has disciplined some people who has taken part from the bread and wine, from the table of the Lord, without confessing their sins. Many of them got disciplined. Some of them became sick. Some of them are dead. That's what he's saying. God is faithful. God is committed to discipline us. We read that in Psalms 119 verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. In his faithfulness, he has afflicted me. God is, you see, we think that God is committed. Oh great, I am going to go to heaven. Blameless, wonderful. That's a hunky-dory picture. Please understand. To make that happen, he is going to discipline you and me. When you and I do not keep our commitment, when you and I do not keep our first love for the Lord, he is going to discipline us. By all means he will do that. And he is committed to do that. absolutely committed to do that. Many of us perhaps may not see the full length of our life. I fear to tell that. Many of us might not see the full length of our life. God has kept for us by way of His discipline, if we are not willing to repent and turn in His ways. He is committed to discipline His people. He is committed in glorifying His people. 1 Thessalonians that we read, chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He which calleth you, who also will do." That's the future. So God's commitment is displayed. God's commitment is displayed, and we have seen its character. God's commitment is displayed in Lord Jesus Christ. God's commitment is displayed in His children, in Christians' life. And before ending, let me just get this gentleman for your one letter. I have just scanned and kept it here. In an individual person's life, I'm leaving this man's name unnamed. It is a letter he has written to his children. He typed with his own hands, and I've just scanned that letter out here. And this, I'll just give a brief background of this man. He was one among five children whose father they lost at a very tender age. He was somewhere 17 or 18, or even lesser than that. And he was the eldest man of that house. And he looked after, his mother was a widow. It was a few decades ago. And the widowed mother had no clue how to raise the five children. And this boy has stopped his classes as he couldn't pay. He went working in a menial's jobs. And ultimately he landed up in Bombay. At the age of 20 he came to Bombay and he lived here. And now, at the age of 70, he's writing this letter to his children. Read it carefully. Whether God has kept His promise, whether God has kept His commitment, you can see it from his life. And this man has lived in Bombay. He was in one of the assemblies in Bombay. So I leave him unnamed, but just read his letter. At the age of 70, he has written. He has written on 4th October 2004, and he died. Okay? He died almost 5 years ago. Okay? At the age of 71. This could be one of his last letters. After this, maybe a few months he lived and he died. "My dear children, loving greetings to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I was thinking of writing a letter something like this for some time, especially after my recent birthday. I am now 70-year-old. I write this letter sitting on my table and seeing the opposite house through our window. It was from this house in the year 1956. I stepped out as a 20-year-old youth with a small bundle containing a spare shirt and a mundu." That's a dhoti. "Amma," that is his mother, "full of apprehension and in tears, watched me slowly moving away. A dropout of primary school with 3 months attendance in the fifth standard to my credit. No certificate nor luggage. Oblivious of what lies ahead, I set my sight to Bombay, an unseen place. Now after 48 years, I am sitting opposite of that house. Though owners changed, house remained the same. My mind running back through the years of God's faithfulness. Well, that would be another long story. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Yes, I am thankful to God. Our Lord is to appear any time from now on. In that event, this house will be ownerless, and Antichrist may confiscate the same. But if the Lord delays His coming, then Daddy and Mummy may be called home. With my age, I am already in the departure launch." Months after, he went to be with the Lord. This man's life is an amazing proof that I know very personally. A life that has been God's monument of faithfulness. He was not a great person. He was not a known person. He was not a person famous or somebody people will look around for. No, he was an ordinary man. Just like you and me. lived in this world from a tender age, from age 12 or 13 on. But at age 70, as he looked back, he could say, God is so faithful to his commitments. We have seen his commitment, his characters. We have seen in centuries since his commitment. We have seen in Christ Jesus his commitment. We have seen that in Christian's life. We have seen it in a current context. Let me ask this final question to you. Do you still doubt his commitment towards you? Do you think that the Lord is going to keep his promise to your life? Or do you think you need to do something to ensure that your life is good? Many of our decisions we take, whom to marry, we take that in the campus, in the school. Why? We think that if the time goes by, that good girl will be lost. God cannot keep his promise, Lord. After that, what is the point of telling? Isn't it? How shameful. The Lord has kept his promise for centuries. Right from the climate, every day when you get up in the morning, when you see the sun rising, you could say, oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord. How on earth the sun is again rising without anybody prompting it? Great is thy faithfulness. Look at the country of Israel. They regrouped. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, Lord. In my life, Lord, you saved me. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Each day, you are running me with the power of the Lord. Great, great, Lord, your commitments are. But Lord, can I trust you for my own personal things? Can I trust you, Lord, with my decisions? With my decision of marriage? With my decision of what course that I should do next? Can I trust you, Lord? What's your decision? Do you trust the Lord? Do you think the Lord will keep his commitment? If yes, stop running your own life yourself. That's the message I want to leave this night. Stop running your life for yourself. Stop it. You might have some desires to have become so and so and so and so and earn a name and money and become famous. Stop it. If you trust him, that he is keeping his commitment. If you trust that he is able to keep his commitment, he will not lie, for he is not a man. If you trust it, my friend, along with the saints of old and new, you could say, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Shall we all stand up for a moment and dedicate our life to the word that we have heard from the scripture? As we all stand up, let's close our eyes and think of these words. God is so committed, and his commitment is never changing. It is unchanging. It is unrelenting, not depending on me at all. Oh, it is always there. It's so faithful, God. I've seen that. We have seen that in centuries. But the question is, am I trusting him for his commitment? Can I say, Lord, I trust you. You would keep your word. You will give me a good life. You will glorify you yourself in me. My life, whatever it be, I might not looking so stunning. I might be looking, Lord, I don't look like my look, Lord. Somebody must be thinking in his heart or her heart. Lord, I am not so popular in my school. Lord, I am urged to take some decisions, lifelong decision in my college, Lord, because I think after some time I will lose that opportunity. But would you stop that? Would you tell in your heart, Lord, I am sorry. I don't want to run my life. I want you to run the life, because you have a plan for my life. I commit my life to you, Lord, for you are committed to me. Would you pray that prayer? Shall we all pray that prayer together? Our Father, we want to tell you, Lord, that we have been running our life ourselves, Lord. We are sorry. We lost sight of thy commitment, Lord, often. We are sorry, Lord. Father, help us to get that sight back. The commitment of the Lord may fill our hearts, that we may give our life fully unto you. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Thank you so much. And have a good night.
Hello. Lord was speaking to us from His Word. Hello. 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 Okay. We heard the a message that helps us to examine our own life, that for every moment of our life we have to trust completely upon the Lord. So examine our own life and see whether we are committed completely to Him. Sometimes we doubt whether God will do it or not, isn't it? But now the Lord has talked to us that everything, whatever may be the things, the Lord is able to do, and He will fulfill. So let us commit ourselves to the Lord for all our needs. Now, it's a time of prayer, family prayer, as we used to do every day. We will have some time together, we will pray. And the Lord answered our